I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Podcast Network Asia.
Look, I mean, the stats don't lie. Like the GDP growth over the last, 15 years is phenomenal. And that, kind of high tides lift all boats, as they say. It would be pretty hard to screw up an economy that has grown roughly 6% year over year. I mean, the wind is really at your back. You know, we saw a young populace, highly talented, highly motivated, digital literate, Western kind of, cognizant of, like, westernized, right? Yeah, like, we all watch the same shows. Like, we laugh at the same jokes. Like, it's great. This is like the 51st state of the United States in a lot of ways.
I understand.
So it makes it very easy to do business here. And, there's a low risk to failing here as well. Salaries are different than in the West. You could hire a couple people. Whether it works or doesn't work, you're not out a lot of money. You hire Americans at a much different quantum, and in 3 months you could be bankrupt or something like that. So,
good evening, good afternoon, good morning to wherever you are watching this podcast or listening to this podcast here in the Philippines and all over the world. Welcome to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. In this podcast, I like to interview the country's pioneering business personalities and trailblazing entrepreneurs to learn more about how they think about doing business. What are their success secrets? Can we replicate those success secrets in our own businesses? How have they innovated their businesses during this pandemic? And more importantly, what business opportunities do they see emerging in this new normal scenario? Is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please let me know. I would love to learn from them. Just drop me a message. We are also live right now on Kumu and on YouTube. Tonight, we will speak to one of the founders of KMC. KMC is the largest flexible space and talent as a service provider in the Philippines. And I'm sure you want to better understand what it means as talent as a service provider. KMC Solutions has over a decade of experience in delivering forward-thinking office spaces and high-performing teams to over 400 plus global brands and local businesses across multiple industries in the Philippines. They have over 55 flexible workspaces in over 20 locations here in Metro Manila, Cebu, Clark, and Iloilo, and they are growing very, very fast. They just opened up their new set of locations, and you will find that out from one of the managing directors and co-founder of the KMC Group. His name is Mike McCullough. With his expertise in commercial real estate and his focus on creating scalable real estate services, he has helped countless businesses thrive here in the Philippines. Please welcome here right now my good friend, Mike McCullough. Mike, thank you for joining us here on the show.
Thank you, RJ. Thanks for having me.
Mike, I have to say, really great background. That's a live background. That is with a green screen over there.
Yeah, those are real people, actually. Yeah.
This is actually this one is of your offices, right? Tell me a bit more about where you are right now.
So we're filming live from the sixth floor of One Ayala, where the former Intercon Hotel was. So we're Ayala Avenue, corner EDSA, above the new bus terminal and connected to the MRT.
And so this one is an actual space that you have that is part of the KMC group of offices that you manage. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We're 27 locations today. And this is one of our newest, one of our largest locations. We have six floors here. We're almost fully occupied. This is a very large co-working and then event space. There's probably two events a week. A lot of startups come in here. We host business chambers. We host the independent investor events. Yeah.
Very interesting. And it's actually set up to be a studio itself, right? That's why you're having a nice conversation with me from that area.
Yeah, hopefully I'm coming in loud and clear. I got some lights here to help, illuminate me. And yeah.
Well, congratulations on your newest location. And I understand that you have one more in SM EDSA North. Is that right? Tell me a bit more about that.
SM North EDSA. Okay. So, that's kind of our dedication to all of our clients and a lot of the talent that lives in the North. So Quezon City being the largest city here in Metro Manila, a lot of people are living either in Quezon City or in those provinces next to Quezon City, like Bulacan. And SM North EDSA is very well connected. It's kind of the gateway to the North.
Fantastic. Tell us just how big that office over there is, right, on SM North EDSA.
That one is about 2,500 square meters, roughly about 500 desks, big co-working space, beautiful views, and training rooms. It's a beautiful space.
Excellent. Okay, now, earlier on, I was saying when I introduced you that KMC is not just an office provider, but talent as a service provider. And that might not be a concept that's easily understood. So what was the elevator pitch that you have? I often tell people on the show when you have the startup. I know you guys are not a startup now, but, what is that elevator pitch that you have to be
scale up officially, by the way? But yeah. We hire talent on behalf of very disruptive, multinational companies that are searching the globe for talent. And honestly, there's so many highly talented individuals in the Philippines, and we're really lucky to be able to connect with them, and as well as our, multinational corporations. So you're a big company, but you don't have a legal entity in the Philippines. You talk to us, we connect you with talent, we pay that talent, legally, compliantly, and everybody's happy.
Oh, I see. So basically, you're not only offering office space, you're offering sort of like the full suite of package for an international company to come in. And
that's right. That's the real differentiator, I think, from us is we're really a one-stop shop for companies that, I think the biggest pain point for many businesses is really, how do I find that great employee or my co-founder? Or, we've definitely set up a few co-founders. We've definitely spun out a few companies, as you know. And that's what that's what we solve. For a lot of big brands.
Really great idea. And so the way that now I understand when you say you're an office space provider and a talent as a service provider, they obviously when they come to the Philippines, not only do they need a legal presence, they also need an office presence and they also need talents at the same time. And that's what you guys provide from end to end.
And that's why we try to make our offices look so beautiful, because talent goes where they feel kind of respected and feel empowered to get their best work done. It's not always in an office. The future of work is kind of this hybrid flex, coming in a few days a week. But when you're here, you're in a place that is very collaborative. There's a lot of social elements to our office design. We have bars, some with alcohol, sometimes without alcohol. Depending on, some of our corporate clients don't want alcohol on premise. Some of the more fun tech startups are okay with some alcohol on premise. And of course we have our world famous ice cream machine, soft serve. Wow. That's going on Thursdays at lunchtime. And we do things a little bit differently.
Now, having said this, Mike, this is a very interesting discussion we're having that you were able to think of this sort of this overall solution, but I guess it took several years to be what KMC is here right now. And if you don't mind, I want to go back to the secret origin of KMC. But before that, what I often ask questions about is like when expats like you find their home in the Philippines and create a business over here, I find it personally very inspiring because there are many Filipinos who see the entrepreneurial or even opportunities for career or work outside of the country. They're better outside of the country than they are over here. But you, Mike, you saw the Philippines from your own, I guess, entrepreneurial lens, saying that there is opportunity here. What exactly did you see that you chose the Philippines as a place for you to do business and set up a company from scratch?
Yeah, so more or less, I actually got sent to the Philippines by a Filipino in San Francisco who said, hey, man, we need a tech delivery center. So, you know, hired developers in Makati City. And this is, you know, late 2006. And they sent me. I came here as an employee. I wasn't on, you know, any sort of amazing tech expat package, but I was definitely fairly compensated. I got here at a very young age. The energy in the country, especially, you know, in 2007, it just had a very special energy and appeal. And obviously, Filipino people and the work ethic and their, you know, desire to kind of build a middle class, you know, really resonated with me. And I enjoyed every moment, you know. So after that contract came up, they said, come back to San Francisco. And I said, no, I'm staying out here. And yeah, you know, things worked out, let's just say.
And what do you continue to see as the, I guess, from a macro perspective of why there is just so much business potential or business opportunity here in the Philippines? Because it's kept you here. And right now you're married and you've got a Filipino wife. So, you know, I guess it's been a very... It's been a very productive experience.
And three kids. That's real product. Yeah, yeah.
So that's right. That's reproductivity over there. Yeah.
That's right. So, look, I mean, the stats don't lie. Like the GDP growth over the last, you know, 15 years is phenomenal. And that, you know, kind of high tides lift all boats, as they say. It would be pretty hard to screw up an economy that has grown roughly 6% year over year. I mean, the wind is really at your back. You know, we saw a young populace, highly talented, highly motivated, digital literate, Western kind of, you know, cognizant of like Westernized, right? Yeah, like we all watch the same shows. Like we, you know, it was, we laugh at the same jokes. Like it's great. This is like the 51st state of the United States in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
So it makes it very easy to do business here. And you know, there's a low risk to failing here as well. Salaries are different than in the West. You could hire a couple people, whether it works or doesn't work. You know, you're not out a lot of money. You hire Americans at a much different quantum, and you know, in 3 months you could be bankrupt or something like that. So that type of arbitrage, I guess, you know, can work really well for a startup. The other thing is this: you know, being in a startup, you get a lot of help. Like when I was living in San Francisco, I'm doing groceries, I'm cooking, I'm doing laundry. There's a lot of help over here, and you can be really focused as an entrepreneur and hire other people to do some of those menial tasks that distract you from running a business or building a business or scaling a business.
And when you say that one, I understand that you bring a lot of businesses here. I'm presuming that a lot of them are the outsourcing related business process, outsourcing related BPO or knowledge processing related. Why do they see the Philippines? I mean, you're seeing that because you're here and you've seen the landscape. But how are also these people living in the other countries, these executives or these people doing BPO work, what are they seeing about the Philippines as well? That they want to do business here, let's say, as opposed to other...
I mean, look, I think that cultural affinity makes it very, very easy for Western companies to come over here and hire people that answer emails, pick up the phone, can do U.S. healthcare work, really. I mean, there's, you know, educated nurses that are probably underpaid in hospitals that can generally say might make more money in healthcare kind of outsourcing companies. So there's just a massive supply of talent that wants to work, that wants to learn. They want to improve their lives. Like it just makes for a perfect recipe for many of these foreign countries to come over here and grow a huge team.
Got that. Now, I'm going to go back to when you came back over here and you're initially brought here as sort of like a talent developer or a talent search. You're here for talent search.
Yeah, right? I had to recruit, you know, high-skilled developers. I mean, In 2007, we were paying 150,000 pesos a month, which is, you know, pretty senior level developer back then. And it took me, you know, probably 15 interviews to hire the one, you know, kind of good guy. And it took me a year to get to 15 senior devs.
Wow. And having said that, when you started this journey, you still had the sort of like, I would say, corporate or employee mindset. When did it shift from employee to sort of like, okay, I can become an entrepreneur? Because I know your contract was coming up, so that must have weighed heavily on your mind. But then,
yeah. So
let's switch. Go on. Yeah.
So basically, you know, the timeline is, you know, 2007. Great, worked for this company. Everything was great, and then they wanted me to go back to San Francisco, and that wasn't going to happen, I guess. Right. I worked with another startup actually, which a friend of mine was running. A friend that I made in Manila was running here, and then 2008 happened, global financial crisis. I literally had to shut down the office, and then he said, "Look, there's no money left in the business or even in the bank account." Like December 15th of 2008.
Wow,
that's when I kind of went from being an employee to entrepreneur, let's say, you know, a consultant, sure. And that's when I, you know, went and with my business partners, Greg Kittleson, Amanda Carpo, and they said, look, we have all these companies coming in. We're helping them register their legal entities, but every single one of them needs an office. In order to register, you need like an office address. And they like, there's an opportunity here. I said, look, I will find them whatever office they need. I will walk the streets of Legazpi Village, Salcedo Village, and I will find the best, cheapest, whatever office that these companies need. And that's how I got started in commercial real estate.
Well, so your background isn't actually in commercial real estate. It was
not at all, man. Tech.
Whoa.
Technology, software development, custom databases, hiring tech teams, and you know, when life gives you lemons, make some lemonade.
Yeah, so I mean, this is interesting right now. So it's basically the school of hard knocks which got you started off in commercial real estate.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And it was fun and different and challenging. And the very first commission check was 100,000 pesos. I thought I was, you know, rich. I mean, literally like, you know, 2008, like my stocks dropped, like I didn't get paid. There was no severance package. Like there was literally, you know, you're kind of ending the year with almost no money. And I was pretty happy to make, you know, our first 100,000 pesos. We then used that money to incorporate KMC. We finally got our SEC approved March 9th, 2009.
Wow. I want to go back a bit more because what I find interesting, I hope you don't mind that this is the part that I find interesting. What I find interesting is an American expat walking the streets and trying to negotiate a good rate in a Makati office. How was that? I mean, how was that like for you? Because, I mean, it's already a bit, it's a challenge right, as a Filipino to do that, but I guess more so as an expat going around looking for office space.
How was that like? I don't know. I don't think I could ever do this again. I think I just timed it perfect. Like, you know, global financial crisis, a few empty offices, people desperate to rent out those offices, put two and two together. It's you know, brokerage is a hard business no matter what. I just got lucky. We were given a lot of leads, but you also have to match those leads and it's not always easy, you know, negotiating with some of the bigger developers who, you know, didn't want to negotiate on prices and there was a mismatch in the market between where rates were and what people were willing to pay. And that's why we ended up being a landlord ourselves, because we were like, we didn't care. Like we would negotiate 5 or 10% as long as we could put two and two together. You know, we're not having to, we were just flexible and that flexibility allowed us to scale to where we are today.
I see. A really interesting story about you know, you just kept on increasing your space in the value chain. In other words, you know, this is what you could deliver. You started delivering more and more on what you thought were pain points that were being brought up by your clients.
100%. 100%. We just listened. And the first client would say, hey, can you do this? We don't do that. Oh, okay. Can you connect us to someone who does? And then the fifth time we hear it, we're like, maybe that's a business idea. Who wants to run this? You know, could we find a good manager to you know, run this service line? Or we just kept stacking services.
I love that. Just stacking services. The value add of the company just kept on growing and growing. And this is the other interesting thing, you know, Mike, the reason why I wanted to meet with you, aside from, you know, finding about what's happening with you with SM North ETSA, was that, you know, like we said, the last time we saw each other was in the Software as a Service Summit, SaaS Summit.
SaaSCon,
Solutions. And the interesting thing about that one is that when I invited Alex here on the podcast, he was saying, oh, yeah, we were all living here. Maybe we were all neighbors. And, yeah, you know, with me, what was Mike of KMC and these other people. I find that very interesting. I find it to be a very interesting story that all you American expats were actually sort of like what happened with PayPal, you know, in Silicon Valley.
The PayPal mafia or something,
right? Sort of like became you American expat mafia who came here in 2008. You kind of stuck in the solution and you kind of just help each other out. Bringing back to the time, I find it very interesting. Tell me, how's it like when you were living together as people struggling to create companies here amidst the chaos?
Yeah, so you know, Pat and I are from the same hometown in Grants Pass, Oregon, very small town, 22,000 people or something like that. His brother and I, very good friends. We were on the wrestling team together. His brother was an Olympian, and so he was in Beijing in 2008. So Pat dropped by the Philippines to visit me before Beijing in 2008, and he also like, wow, this is pretty cool. He was working remotely. Like, this is, you know, before remote work was a big thing. And he's like, oh, the Philippines is, you know, good value for money. I can work here. And he did. He stayed with us in 37C, which, you know, is like a bit of a mafia. There's a lot of businesses that were started from that. Ike Stranathan, Dave Foote from Zenya, obviously Greg Kittleson and I, Pat Gentry. We've hosted a lot of now entrepreneurs in that space. So it's probably got its own story. We'll probably write a blog about that one of these days. But so I wrote the first version of Sprout and we were using it internally. Like, things got complicated. You know, we started growing our team, you know, we're 30 employees, then 60, then 100. And you needed basically, you know, some basic HR data on all your employees. And then we said payroll. So we wrote the first one. Pat saw it. He's like, this is pretty cool. Maybe I can help build this up while I'm doing my other job. So he's kind of moonlighting. And I think a year later said, look, this business has legs. Let me take it on. And he did. And he, you know, just hit it out of the park. So,
wow.
And I'm on his board and still have some shares there. So, yeah, very, very happy with Sprout's success.
Really great story. And it's nice to see how that you're all building on each other's successes. Having said that, I'm going to go back right now and go back to the origins of KMC. So I understand that that's Kittleson, McCullough. And Marco. Yeah, right. And when you look at KMC right now, help me better understand, how did it all come together and how did the opportunities emerge? I know that I've known Amanda as a lawyer. I'm not too sure about what Greg was before coming together at KMC. Tell us how the team came about together and how eventually you figured out this is the pain point to solve.
Yeah, so I met Greg and Amanda like the first week I got to the Philippines, maybe the first 3 days. And I was introduced to them by the BOI, Bureau of Investments. And we had coffee. Amanda sounded kind of American. Her stepfather had a bar in San Francisco that I knew, I had been to, like, just a very, very small world, instant connection there. And a few months later, they said, hey, we have basically what was a co-working space available. And we were looking for an office for our developers. So as we were growing. And so we shared an office, became friends. And then we had the business opportunity to help companies find real estate. So we incorporated KMC outside of the law firm that Amanda and Greg kind of were running. Greg's background was in, he was doing like online massive multiplayer gaming. So he was kind of like tech and entrepreneurship, and he was doing social media. He had a like early like a Facebook company. I'm trying to remember what it was called, but yeah, you know, young guys having fun, and who knew we would have created what we created today.
Truly amazing. And let's go back to the first account. I mean, this is what people always ask, the first account that you had to close. How was that like? That was the 100,000 peso account. That's right. That we
yeah.
Money. That tells I mean, me
I like I remember like it was tomorrow, like or yesterday. Like it was a SEO company from the US. They wanted to hire, you know, 20 to 50 copywriters and kind of SEO experts. And I found a space. It was 200 square meters at 500 pesos per square meter, fully fitted, chairs, desks, the whole thing, and closed my first deal.
And that space was the fruit of the crisis, right?
Yeah, basically. It was another company that fitted out their office. It was maybe a year old, you know, in beautiful shape. And yeah, somebody else took it on and rented it out, and everybody was happy.
So in every crisis, there's an opportunity to be had.
That's
so,
right. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we really built ourselves in a crisis. And we were doing essentially co-working where, hey, it's 10 companies, rents maybe a million pesos, divided by 10, it's 100,000 each company. I mean, with no profit, no margin, just literally this is cost, divide it equally. I mean, we were doing this 14 years ago before it was kind of a thing.
I see. You were doing co-working space before it became co-working space or co-office space.
Yeah, we just called it, hey, we've got a big office and we have extra office space. You want to like, you know, come in on it. And we had a bunch of, yeah, we had some pretty interesting characters come through.
Now, after the first one was closed, tell me a bit more about how you kind of grew the company from there. Because, you know, right now KMC is very well, I'm from sort of that industry. I know that you brought in a lot of the biggest outsourcing companies here to the country to do business. But tell us, how did you grow it from that one SEO? And tell us about the journey, how you started to grow KMC.
Oh man, you know, 2009 was quite the, or two, yeah, 2009 was quite a struggle. Like it's the, you know, bounce back of the global financial crisis. We were able to find a very young, talented, employee named Rosario Carbonell, Cha Carbonell, and she applied at some other brokerage firms, and they were like freeze hire, and we're like, this girl's great, like, you know, let's hire her. And she really kind of helped build the playbook of doing tenant rep, which is getting a list of all the offices and prices, and then, you know, we were just hand delivering clients. They're so many companies were looking to come to the Philippines back then to you know, get into that labor pool of, you know, high quality, affordable, hardworking talent.
And how are you able to come across these clients? I mean, it's interesting that, you know, you're able to build the back, I would call the back office processes, right? Basically to get all the spaces in line, ready for them. How were you able to market your services there? Was it based on your network already, or were they coming to you?
We were really ahead of the game in terms of search engine optimization. So we had a couple websites. We ranked 1, 2, 3, 4 on Google for multiple search terms, and that was really the focus of Greg and myself. It was a skill that I'd known of probably since 2006, and something that we had offered to our clients in San Francisco.
Interesting story. So
we were really ahead of it before anybody knew SEO, you know, locally. We were doing it, we were conquering, you know, we were really I mean, sometimes we'd have like the first six results on page one of Google.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow. Interesting. So these companies, these companies which wanted to outsource or offshore to the Philippines, they were seeing you first. In those nascent days of, you know, using the search engine and figuring things out, they were coming across you. Can you give me just an idea of what were the type of companies that were coming in here at the time from the US or from the world?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, anything and everything. I mean, some of the bigger ones were like QB Insurance. They came in here and then, you know, looking for 30 staff. I think they're like 3,000 employees now. We did, you know, all the real estate work for TaskUs as they went from a 5-person company to 200 to, I think, they're 25,000 now in the Philippines. You know, we've been lucky to work with some real, real leading, disruptors and Uber. When Uber first came to the Philippines, nobody knew who they were. I was from San Francisco. I knew exactly who Uber was, right? Like, dude, just come to my office at any price. We don't care what, you know, we don't need to make any money. I know Uber's like the coolest, you know, business. They were very disruptive back then, right? And so, yeah, I mean, what they started putting 300 drivers through our office, and we told them they had to get out after that. Yeah. Wow. But great, great, great story. Yeah, it's been fun.
Amazing. And I'm sure during the time of building the company, there are also a lot of times when you undergo, you know, not for all entrepreneurs, there's nobody who hasn't gone through the ups and downs of entrepreneurship. People only see the successes. They don't see a lot of the failures or the hardships. Because, share with us if you don't mind, because people just see the success of KMC. What are those times when you felt like, okay, I'm gonna close up shop and go back to San Francisco? Were there did you have times like that? Or, you know, you just said, you know, this is not worth it?
Yeah, there's, you know, definitely in the early days, there's some tough times. Like, we had lost an account that was like a big chunk of our space. And you're just like, oh, like it just will take months to fill again. And like you go from being profitable to, you know, making a loss. We had a lot of issues with the internet in the early days. It took us a long, long time to really get that working. And as we scaled, we had to buy more expensive like firewalls and switches and, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, those are super challenging. And when you're hosting like literally call centers and they're like screaming at you, like the internet's not working. And you're trying to figure it out. Is it PLDT? Is it Globe? Is it Buy and Tell? Is it our firewall? Is it the switch? Like restarting everything, not knowing what's going on. Like, yeah, I mean, you're like, yeah, you're like, man, what am I doing here?
And, but how, maybe what's the mental state that you should put yourself in? I mean, we all talk about resilience, all about grit, but when you get into situations like that one, I guess what's the why that keeps you going? So that, you know, you say, okay, we're going to go through these times, but you know,
the, for me, I was like the self-learning of like, okay, fine, I'm going to read the manual on this firewall. I'm going to, you know, YouTube it. I'm going to read like, okay, how do I set up the VLANs? How do I prioritize voice traffic over data traffic? How do I create VLANs? Like, you know, everything was the first three offices were, you know, literally Greg and I painted our first one. We were taking out the trash ourselves. We were vacuuming the floors. A month later, we finally found, you know, some help to, you know, do the trash and the cleaning. But that's kind of the, I guess, American spirit, where you kind of roll up your sleeves and you're doing a lot of the hard work initially yourself. I personally, with a team of OJTs, crimped all the Cat 5 cables within the office. So I crimped them, you know, connected them to the switch, connected them to a faceplate. Yeah, I mean, it's just the, you know, those are the things you do. You can't afford a third party in the early days. So but the you know, learning how to do something, it was always a challenge, right? Like, how do we scale this? How do we get a better device? Okay, let's, you know, what are the different firewall options? And where do we pick our, where's the next location for us? Yeah, it was challenging and really fun.
Speaking of fun, we've got a lot of fans commenting here right now. I have this big, she seems to be a super fan. Her name is Isa Giron. Says, "I love you, Mike."
That would be my wife.
Okay, then she's a big
ex-girlfriend. Yeah.
Isa, thanks so much for letting us borrow Mike for this podcast and for letting me share his stories. And we also have over here Carl E. Frankie Ramirez saying, "Hi, Mike and RJ. Hi, Frankie. How are you? Thanks so much for listening to the show. Really appreciate you guys coming. Hope you guys are enjoying so far."
I mean, some of the sacrifices were that, like, I was putting in, you know, 12-hour days and getting home at like 2 a.m. So the early days of dating was, you know, not so easy.
Yes. Well, I'm seeing over here, Alcid Sangkianco Mel saying, "That's our big boss. He is very hands-on." So again, that's one big lesson over here, I guess, especially for many Filipino, people raised over here as well. Sometimes, you know, I like how you said, you know, the American sort of mindset of, you know, you get your hands dirty. You got to, you know, go out and do it.
We're not afraid, I guess. Yeah, we're not afraid. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I want to move forward a bit more. And, you know, as you were growing the accounts, you said that you were out there. You were lucky because, you know, you had SEO. I mean, you figured out SEO when you needed to figure it out, right? You came in, right time, prices. So there are a lot of office spaces still available at good prices at the time. So it's like a perfect storm for you guys. So you were able to grow the business and scale it. Where was that point when you were doing business, Mike, where eventually said, "Hey, KMC's going to make it"? Or, you know, there's a time, "Wow, I can't believe we've grown KMC to this size." When did you feel that for KMC?
I mean, there's a couple times, right? We had closed a really big deal with ANZ, a bank from Australia. And they're like, "Hey, well, for a discount, can we prepay you 6 months?" And that was like music to our ears, right? So boom, they wrote us a check. It was 13 million pesos. It like literally helped, you know, just like cover all the bills for months, right? And that was like the biggest check of our life, probably at that time. That was a great moment. Never forget it. And then when we started getting our first love letter from the BIR, that's when, and it was like the amount that they wanted was like more money than we had made probably in like 5 years combined. Like, I don't know where that number came from. Like, they just, you know, make numbers up in the air and I guess negotiate from there. So that was kind of like, oh, like the our finance employees, "Oh, you know, we really made it now that we got this letter of authority from the BIR."
Ivan Trachkovsky saying over here, "An amazing success story. Thank you for all that you and KMC do for our business." Thanks so much, Ivan, for dropping by and saying hi.
Oh, nice. That's one of our clients. So
then you've got you've got an instant testimonial over here that you can use. So really great stories. Tell us right now. So we know that you started off with that one office, the 100,000, with the first SEO office that you had. Tell us right now, 10 years later, just how big the scope is of KMC.
Yeah. So, you know, we just exceeded over 100,000 square meters. I think the number is like 108,000 square meters. We're approaching 20,000 desks today. I know that because I think next month we're going to try to plant 20,000 mangroves up in La Union. So one for each desk. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now that, you know, it's been a decade since you've been out there, we know that you started off with office space and probably as a provider service. account provider service. What exactly do you guys have to pivot and change right now? What are the current state of services that you guys offer that have been that are different or have evolved from when you started off?
Yeah, so you know, in the early days, it was space, and you're renting a desk. Now, sometimes we thought that, oh, why don't you take it for 8 hours, and we'll rent it to somebody else at night for another 8 hours. That was fun. We finally, you know, really started making money when we kind of were able to double rent out the desk, but ended up being just a complete nightmare. Somebody stole my alcohol. Somebody stole my mirror. The keyboard's dirty. Like, anyway, then we gave people their private offices that they had dedicated to them for 24/7. That was kind of like, you know, the growing stages. Then we started saying, people came to us, can you help us with our HR and payroll? Can we just put the employee under you and you handle all the HR and payroll? So then we started running HR and payroll, created HR and payroll software, AKA Sprout, spun that out. We then got into kind of recruitment, which is, you know, talent matching. Hey, I want to hire a digital marketing expert. Okay, let us, you know, work our network and bring you this, bring you five great employees. You pick one out of the five. So that has been kind of the, I guess, stages that we've gone through in terms of services. Now it's co-working, virtual office. We now are getting into co-living for our, just only our clients. It's not, you know, available to the public. It's just for our clients and our employees.
And where do you see, I mean, I see the success and I see where you're taking it. It's really providing a one-stop shop solution as you keep on raising the, you're stacking your products, right? For what you can offer your clients. Where do you see the company about 2 to 3 years down the road? Do you see yourself going on an IPO? Do you see yourself expanding regionally? Do you see yourself stacking more services onto what KMC is offering right now?
Yeah, so we've paid one of those like big four consultants a bunch of money to help us map out what the next 5 years should look like. And they've definitely suggested, and we've been offered this a bunch of times. We've been looking at, you know, do we get to Malaysia? Do we get to Singapore? Do we get to Vietnam? Especially so many of our clients have come to us looking for tech talent. And there's great tech talent here, maybe not the same scale as India or Vietnam. So, you know, we've got those countries in our radars, and we make it there sooner than later.
Got that. I'm just a bit curious, as I, you know, you left the States in 2007, planned to stay over here. And I mean, I don't know what your folks might have been thinking, your parents might have been thinking in the US, like, what's he going to do over there in the Philippines, right? And you go back here right now and you've got a very successful company. I know you just got back from your vacation in the States. What does your family make of the whole thing, you know? They must be impressed, but how's it like?
It took my parents, I think, 15 years to understand what I actually really do here, because we do so many things. There's, you know, we started with real estate brokerage, which we still have, and then we got into project management and construction, which we, you know, which is growing rapidly. But really, with KMC Solutions, it's, you know, building an office, beautifully design it, make a lot of collaborative spaces. And my mom came over last Christmas for the first time ever, and she got to see all the work that we've been able to do here. And she was one of the early backers, right? Like, hey, mom, can I get a loan for, you know, $10,000? Like, okay, sure, son. What are you doing it? Like, okay, well, we're getting our first office, and it's, you know, we got to buy some furniture. We got to buy some laptops. And yeah, I mean, all of our moms, like Greg's mom, Amanda's mom, like they've all been able to write us checks, thankfully. And finally, the banks were cheaper than our parents.
Eventually.
It took a while. It took a while.
So are your moms, yeah. I guess your moms have made ROI.
You know, they were loans. So yeah, they got paid back with interest.
Paid back, so they have no equity in the company now.
They have no equity, yeah. Yeah.
Really, so,
but you know, one of the things that just keeps us growing is the access of great talent. You know, companies are looking everywhere in the world now for the first time ever with this whole like remote work. And some of the best companies in the world, they're able to find talent right here in the Philippines. So there's no reason to leave. Like if you're a Filipino here, like you can literally get a job working for a global company, and you could be living in La Union or, you know, Batangas or Cavite, whatever. Like there's massive demand for talent now, and the world has become flat.
Over here, it's Tiny De Castro saying that's great going international. Looking forward building more KMC outside the country. Thanks so much, Tani, for listening in. And we also have Darius Borrero saying, awesome. Sir Mike, thanks so much for all the work that you're doing. So thanks, guys, for giving the feedback. And I want to go back to a point that you just raised now. You talked about, you know, that there's, you know, if you, that it's, we're a great talent space, right? So there's an opportunity for talent. If you take a look right here, right now, I often ask many of the people I invite in the podcast to share with us, What do you see as opportunities? Like you saw arbitrage as an opportunity between the States and the Philippines. So that's the biggest opportunity that you saw over here in terms of, you know, income arbitrage, talent arbitrage. What are you seeing as the opportunities overall in the BPO space, in talent as a service provider space? It doesn't have to be directly related to your business, but rather in the ecosystem that people can still get into, that entrepreneurs can still enter into and grow over here in the Philippines. That's not necessarily down the road from what you guys do.
Well, this is more your space, but like, if you look at like food and beverage, I mean, you look at the success of Pickup Coffee. Like, who would have thought? Like, you know, put up like a stall, have like lines out the door at all times of the day. I drink the coffee. I like it. You know. Like my employees they drink it. Like there's literally lines out the door in some of the buildings that they're in with, you know, we're in some of the same buildings. So, I mean, there's opportunities in food and beverage. There's opportunities in hospitality, domestic tourism. It's huge. I mean, the rates that we have to pay sometimes for a hotel in the Philippines versus a five-star hotel in Thailand are, it's a big difference there sometimes.
Wow. And with regard to talent, you were talking about, you know, you're a talent service provider. What exactly are the talents that people are in demand right now, and how can people take advantage? I mean, you can take advantage of it as a personal entrepreneur, you know, making my skill set correct for whatever's coming in. But is there also a way to look at talent from a larger perspective?
Yeah, I mean the most kind of like the category of talent that we hire the most of is for financial planning and analysis. So these are accountants, people doing business analysis. I mean, they're doing everything. They'll do procurement, global procurement. They're in high demand. We you know, we hire them by the hundreds, really. Some of the other sectors, workforce management, healthcare, U.S. healthcare. Yeah.
And in terms of how have the industries that are looking at the Philippines changed or evolved since the time that you started doing, you know, the work that you've been doing in 2007? I mean, what's different now coming into the Philippines? Has it changed because demographics have changed, age groups have changed? What's different now with the companies coming in?
I think the most important thing is the skill sets have changed. I mean, the skill sets have been massively upgraded since I got here, right? Like, we were known as like the voice capital of the world. We've really outgrown that now, and we're doing so much more high level, what we call knowledge process outsourcing. Just a lot more brain power has been developed. We're not just doing voice. We're not doing customer support. We're doing way more advanced stuff. You know, there's actually data scientists going on here. There's AI people. There's hardware, software guys being, you know, Dyson made a massive investment in the Philippines because they knew they could get hardware engineers and high-end manufacturing people to work here. So
wow,
big brands.
you see a lot of these big brands coming in for, especially for talents in the Philippines. Now, what is there in terms of the companies? Have they? I mean, it's basically outsourcing, but higher level of outsourcing. I guess it's more knowledge based right now, or skills based outsourcing. How about the kind of companies, the profile of companies? Are they still? I mean, in general, it's like I used to assume it's insurance, healthcare, medical care, because you
can easily
choice. Yeah. What's
a lot of finance companies coming in. Yeah. Especially with like the US banking crisis kind of brewing. I think banks are under a lot of pressure to cut costs. JP Morgan took a big brand new office. They were actually supposed to be in One Ayala, and they ended up going to BGC instead. So Wells Fargo's growing. They're, you know, hiring probably 5,000 people over the next couple of years. Just a lot of new brands. There's, you know, companies like Starbucks that they're actually here in the Philippines, but they don't have a shared services firm. Mm-hmm. They want to kind of get out of Seattle. The Seattle talent pool got expensive. Nobody wants to work in an office. Some of these processes are sensitive. They want people in an office, and you can get affordable office space in the Philippines, and you can get high quality talent.
Wow. Hill Carlo Cruz is commenting here right now again, Facebook. My idols. Hi, Mike and RJ. Thanks so much, Hill, for listening in on the show. I really appreciate it. Mike, this is an interesting question. This has been coming up in many of the forums that I've been attending about, you know, AI and fourth industrial revolution, especially here in the Philippines. They're saying, you know, that AI is going to affect our outsourcing industry because it'll take away a lot of jobs. For me, I need to know from the ground, what are you seeing?
Yeah, look, I definitely think probably 100,000 jobs are at risk, but at the same time, we're going to grow 1 million jobs. So, you know, net, maybe it's 900,000 jobs that will still be created. I still think that's probably a good result at the end of the day. But yeah, some of these, you know, lower skilled jobs will, you know, will get replaced with AI, with software, with automated call center kind of resolution stuff. But is it that scary? I don't know. You know, there's very talented, creative people, and it's very hard to outsource or AI that.
Great, thanks so much. You know, Mike, it's been such an interesting discussion. I didn't think we'd go this long, but we're almost done an hour over here. So I want to go here right now, and for the benefit of those listening right now, I want to share with them maybe some of the things that you've learned over the years, maybe your management hacks that you've gained. If you were to share maybe two or three things that you've learned over the years that would have accelerated, your journey towards success or a great performance, what are those things that you want to share with people listening to us right now?
Sure. So probably one of the first ones, I hope Pat said this, Pat Gentry from Sprout, or Pat and Alex from Sprout said this, is the 1% a day rule. When you're working at a company, there's just so many things you need to fix, but we just try to fix, you know, one. And if you do 1% a day, fix 1% a day in a year, that's 365% kind of improvement on the business. One of the other things, working in the business or working on your business. When you're the one fighting all the fires and putting everything out and everything has to go through you, you're working in the business and you're not able to work on your business. So that's, you know, one of the things I've kind of learned, and try to take myself out of the process, try to take one step back so I can see the forest through the trees. The other one is a guy named Vern Harnish, and he's got a couple books out, and it's people, strategy, execution, and cash. You know, get the right people on the bus, set the strategy, you know, execute, and then really focus on cash flow. As you know, cash is king, and trying to get paid by some of these conglomerates is a complete nightmare. I helped write like a bit of a biz buzz article during the pandemic that if all the biggest companies, like top 10 companies, they just paid their suppliers on time, like net 30, we wouldn't have like any sort of crisis. Like they wouldn't have to go to the banks. Just pay your suppliers on time if you're, you know, kind of the bigger players, especially the bigger developers, weren't known to do so. And that would have keep the cash going in the economy, which I feel is really important, because SMEs, they don't have ready accessible cash.
That's right.
By the banking sector. And they're the first ones to really get pummeled during COVID.
And on a more personal note, I know that it's difficult to be an entrepreneur. My wife and I, we work together in the business. So, you know, it had its own set of challenges. And for your ex-girlfriend, now wife listening here to the show, I mean, it must have been a challenge here as well. And any advice at all for these entrepreneurs coming up and they have to balance personal life with you know, building the business? I'm sure not all of us have the perfect solution, but we had something that we had to work with. What were you working on?
Look, I think because you get so distracted now, it's so easy. Like you get a message being, you know, try to put a rule down, like no cell phones at the dinner table. So, you know, when you're there, you're really present. And that's not easy right now. There's so many distractions in life. And then I tend to take kind of these mini vacations, you know, where I'm off for like, you know, 4 days, me, kids, family, wife, you know, that way the rest of the week, you know, you may not see me or I may not be mentally there, but yeah. But at least on the weekends, you can spend quality time and not be distracted by devices. And yeah, it's a big issue.
Okay, thanks so much, Mike. Mike, yeah, please go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, I've been to a lot of like nice restaurants where I see two people on a cell phone at dinner. I just hope that's not me. Yeah.
I hope my wife is not listening to this discussion. No, I'm just joking about that. And with that, Mike, just in case people are here right now, they're interested to find how they can work in KMC, either as they want office space or they're a talent who wants to come on board to offer their services. How do they get in touch with KMC?
I mean, look, for KMC, we really, truly try to make like the talent experience amazing, right? Like we roll out all the stops. We throw foam parties. We're a little different probably in terms of how we treat employees than some of the other companies. So we definitely try to make it a enjoyable place to work. So yeah, KMC Careers, search us. We're hiring. I think we have 260 open positions right now. We'd love people to join us as we continue to grow.
And having said that, I want to put up my last comment over here from one of the people listening to the podcast, from Stephanie Priscil Yabot, saying, "That's my boss, the best in the business." We
wow.
see now we're getting a raise right now after we're done with this podcast. But
noted.
Thanks so much for all the great comments. We really appreciate everybody who listened to the podcast. Mike, so thanks so much. Learned a lot from you. Hopefully, there are points where we can collaborate with our businesses, because, you know, business is all about collaboration. We'll talk to you after this offline. But again, guys, thanks so much. Thanks, Gerald, Fernando. Cheers. Thanks for listening. We appreciate this one. Thanks for listening to the RJ Ledesma podcast. We will see you in our next podcast. Thanks, guys. We'll see you later. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you. Thanks, RJ.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.